Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 15 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is program 116. So if you'd like to order it by tape or CD, please specify whether you want a CD or a tape, and remember, it's always free of charge. Right now, let's go to the throne of the living God. We have some letters to read and a very informative message on how to have God's life living in you. Father, cut through all the wickedness in this world. Let me be before your throne, Lord. Anoint, pour out your spirit. Be thou with me in this message. Be thou the word, Lord and God, through my mouth, that the church, that souls will be saved, and that the church will become soul winners and will flee from all false doctrine and every false thing. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From Jackson, Mississippi. It's a witnessing response.
Okay, go ahead and read it.
A woman we met out witnessing said she knows Tony is a man of God, and he appeared to her in a dream and told her about 9/11 before it happened.
Oh, I wrote a piece of literature on that before it ever happened. I saw an article in the Sun magazine, one of those magazines that you see on the newsstands in the supermarkets. And it stated that some of the officials of the Vatican predicted that there's going to be terrorism in beginning in the fall, which is around September. And so, me knowing that there are no prophets in the Vatican, there's no such thing as a Vatican prophet, because they're not, they are definitely anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-America, anti-U.S. Constitution, everything. So when I saw them predicting that, I knew that it's going to hit, because they wanted to make themselves look like a prophet. And I know there are no prophets, so I knew it was going to be them that was going to be ordering the people here in the United States and the federal government and whoever that they were going to use to bring forth this terrorism, that it was going to be them, and it still is. And they want America on her knees praying that terrorism will stop. Well, the administration, through the Vatican, will say, well, it will stop if you do everything we say. In other words, if you become our slaves, we will stop terrorism. It's extremely easy for them to stop terrorism. All they got to do is order their own troops to don't terrorize anymore, and they won't. And so I wrote a piece of literature in that regard, and sure enough, fall came, and I, just as I predicted, and in this woman's dreams, I came to her and told her before it ever happened, 9/11 happened. And then we see Bush conveniently in a school room listening to nursery rhymes and whatnot. And all of a sudden, there's no air defense here in the United States. Now President Bush wants to give away all the ports. Isn't that wonderful? Just turn the whole United States has already been turned over to the Vatican because of the wicked presidents who claim to be Christians. They keep bombing other nations, in other words, to put them under the control of the Vatican, the one world government, the one world cult and media, the UN. And so now we're supposed to turn over to the Arabs, the same ones that they were accusing of having destroyed or been the culprits on 9/11. Doesn't that make sense? I'm being facetious, of course. No, these people that are in government are our enemies. And I heard one of the newscasts where they were reading some people's retorts in regard to that. And I thank God that a lot of people are wised up, but what it is, folks, is you've wised up too late. You've wised up to it too late. And yes, I have predicted the tsunamis, the earthquakes, the hurricanes, tidal waves, twisters, typhoons, and all the other things. And this woman saw it in a dream. She knows that I'm of the Lord because she saw me. Probably never saw me before in her life. Maybe she did or didn't. I don't know. I haven't heard the rest of this letter for the second time. I heard it skimmed over. But a lot of people recall I wrote the Pope's Secrets about 23, 24 years ago. And everything that I said has come to pass. Now, I've just updated the Pope's Secrets, and we're just about ready to go to press. Make sure to get a copy of it. It's very informative. And the person that, what was that gentleman that started accusing Bush? They did a CD on him. Who?
Michael Moore.
Yeah, Michael Moore. He's a Catholic himself. They allowed him to do that just to test the waters to see if people would believe a little bit about Bush. But he didn't tell a half of it. He didn't even touch the tip of the iceberg. Ronald Reagan told me he was being used. He was a puppet for the Vatican. FDR was a puppet for the Vatican. He knew that Japan was going to bomb Pearl Harbor. He knew it all along, and he just didn't tell anybody. He deliberately allowed around 3,000 or more. They say it's 2,500 or whatever the figures are. A lot of our young men and women back then were killed. And they could have been warned and ready for those people, those Japanese, when they came to Pearl Harbor. Then we see films, actual footage of the Japanese herding a bunch of our young American soldiers into little foxholes and then pouring gas on them and setting them on fire. And we're now supposed to not pay any attention to what the Vatican is up to now. I saw millions of my race, the Jewish people, put in ovens by Hitler, a Catholic, who said, "I'm only doing what the Vatican has been trying to do for years, centuries, and that is to put a stop to destroy every Jew on the face of this earth." And yet the people are so dense, so deceived, so utterly ignorant and stupid, that they don't want to do anything about it, because what they did, the Vatican's government has allowed drugs to come into this country, and they put out movies that make it look cool to some people to be on drugs. People are looking for escapism now because they know that they don't know how to figure out what's going on in the world. And it's so simple. It tells of all these things in the Bible. So I'm actually no genius. My genius is that I use God's genius. I receive it, I believe it, and I tell people what he says, and it really actually comes to pass. And that's what infuriates the Vatican. Mr. Bush tried to become or get friendly with me. He sent me 17 emails wanting me to tell him what to do regarding peace in the Middle East. And I said, and he was threatening to bomb overseas the Persians. And I told him, don't do anything until you hear from me. So he called it off for a while. And so I wrote the piece of literature entitled Peace in the Middle East. And he said that he would put it on the White House newsletters or the White House news media. And so I sent him a copy of it, and they said it was too large to put on the thing, that they could only use so many pages or less. And so they lied about that. And as soon as they realized that I just used Bible to tell them what is going to bring about peace in the Middle East, is that God is going to destroy the Chinese, the Russians, the Arabs, or anyone, America, anyone that rises up against Israel, because they are God's chosen people. We are God's chosen people. And those of us who have accepted the Messiah as our personal Savior. And the Lord led his people out of Egypt when they were being horribly persecuted before, and it seems like if people had any sense, they would read the Bible and know that God's not going to let you people mess with his people much longer. There is horrible destruction coming on not only the United States but the entire world, because the Vatican has somehow, and I know how they did it, because that is my profession before I became a Christian, is promotion, publicity. And I was the one that did the promotion for Sonny and Cher. I made them superstars. I did a lot of that for the Beatles, Elvis Presley, and many other stars, Rovan, Bobby Jameson, people like this. Some of them, like Jameson, was not able to handle the publicity that I did for him, because he went sort of crazy. But I understand exactly what they're doing, and people have gone out of their minds. And now they see that everything is over with, and they still don't believe the Bible, and so what they're doing is retreating into drugs, narcotics, sex, every kind of video, any kind of movie, any form of escapism to try. It's like a bunch of ostriches sticking their head in the sand and hoping that nobody's going to kick them in the behind. But you are going to be kicked in the behind. Now, you people think that you're going to appease the Antichrist government by going along with them to make war against God. But let me tell you something. This world has made war with God. And now, God is turned around. Now he's made war against the people of this world. The people such as myself that love the Lord are not going to be hurt by God any more than the Jews were hurt by God when they were in Egypt. God destroyed the Egyptians and put the Jews in just a little pocket someplace on the side. It was like the Jews were able to watch the fireworks. It was like they were going to a state fair and watching the fireworks, and they were not burnt or blown up by them at all. Now God is has allowed the people to continue being as evil and wicked as they are, because he wants people to realize that there is a devil. And now he's punishing them right before your very eyes, those that think that Muhammad is God rather than God, that Muhammad is the true prophet and the savior rather than Jesus. You people don't realize how you have infuriated God, and that you have are continuing to infuriate him. So know this, that, you know, the things that have happened on this earth to date, you've seen people drowned and thousands of people destroyed in earthquakes, and you're next. And please believe me that you're next. Unless you repent and get into the body of Christ, into the wineskin, into the body. There's only one body, and that's Christ's body. There's only one church, and that's the body of Christ. Those of us that have his Spirit living in us. The wine of the Spirit of the Lord is in us, and not in religions, the Lord is against these false religions, you false religions. The Lord is only for those that are filled with Him, to where He is their bridegroom and they are children of the bride chamber. They are invited guests to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and they're virgins because the Lord has washed them from all their former sins. And they're on their way to heaven to become the bride at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the New Jerusalem. Okay, but so, you know, get right with the Lord. I'm not condemning you. You're already condemned. You've condemned yourself by trying to fight God. Take His name, buy His word out of school. Make it a law that if you read the Bible that you could be put in jail. You've made war against God, idiots. Well, you're calling us idiots. What else could you be called? The Bible says that a person that doesn't believe in God is a fool. God calls you a fool. And here you see all these things happening. And what can the government do when a tsunami hits or an earthquake or a mudslide? The whole town gets covered up, even the officials in government. And they're under the mud. They're going to try to, you know, we'll do something against God. We'll brace ourselves against these catastrophes and disasters. No, you won't. God, when He sends down fire and brimstone from heaven and ice kegs, hail, 100 pounds each, you're not going to fight that. There's no escape for you. And when the Lord sends a meteorite that's going to send up a tidal wave of hundreds of feet that will cover most of the nation, Arkansas will be beachfront property, and it's for sure Arizona. So if you want to buy a beachfront property in advance, go ahead and buy some out there now, because the shore, the people that live along the shorelines will be covered up with water. God's not going to flood the whole world. He's going to, again, He's put a rainbow in the sky as a signal to you that the whole world will not be destroyed by water. He's going to destroy it by fire. And that's going to happen soon. Okay, now let's finish this letter. This letter just triggered me off. This woman that had a vision of me telling her that about 9/11, and also, what else did she say?
She said she had another dream of Tony, and this time he told her about the tsunami before it happened.
Sure, and I'm telling you all about the worldquake. The whole world is going to be moved off of its axis, and then it's going to ignite like a blast oven, and if you are not saved, you're going to be like so much chaff that's going to burn up, and you're going to keep burning forever. And you're going to be conscious. You will wish that you could, and pray that you could faint or pass out or escape the pain, but that ain't going to happen. Okay, keep going.
She discussed this with some of her friends, and they told her not to talk about it because people will think she's going crazy. She said she is writing a book regarding these dreams and wants to talk to you. She gave her address and phone number and said you could reach her after 6 p.m. She asked to be put on the mail list and wants to start distributing the literature in her area.
Okay, well, remind me to call her tomorrow, okay?
Sir.
And I'll give her a call. All right, now the next letter is from where?
From Ashanti, Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor, God bless you and your ministry for winning more souls for Christ at these end times. First and foremost, I would like to express my heartfelt thanks for sending me the Holy Bible and the materials I requested. I am still distributing the literature, and I am very happy that many people have shown interest over here whenever I distribute them. And I have been observing that more souls are won any place I distribute your world newsletters. Please, I formed a study group, and we meet every Wednesday to discuss the literature in my house premises. Pastor, you offered to send me a t-shirt and sweatshirt. Please, I want a white t-shirt and a sweatshirt in black, size 2X. Please, I want to end here with best greetings. Thank you. Yours in Christ, Godfred, from Kumasi, Ashanti, Ghana, Africa.
Right. And these t-shirts and sweatshirts are for those that distribute. And to encourage those of you that have been given to appetite, we have these t-shirts and sweatshirts that go up to 3 and 4X. All right? I myself wear a double X t-shirt and a sweatshirt, and sometimes I wear a triple X jacket. All right? And I've even fitted into a 4X before. All right, then I don't want to be what anything other than what the Lord wants me to be. And I guess He wants me to be, a little extra large. Okay, what else?
Next letter is from Houston, Texas. Dear Pastor Alamo's ministry, I found your newsletters and message about dry bones at work November 6, 2005. Someone had dropped it on the stairs of the apartment complex where I work. I picked it up and began to read it. I enjoyed everything about it. I have been to so many ministries trying to find a place where God would use me, but most of them are not teaching the true word of God. So now I stay home, read, and study God's word until God directs my steps to where He wants me to be. I am so hurt inside because ministers know God's word and they won't teach the truth. Most of them feel if they teach the truth, they will lose money and their flock.
Not only that, they know they'll be persecuted, and they're too concerned about their mousy flesh rather than your soul and you making it into the kingdom of heaven. But, you know, I've lived a good life, and I've lived now 71 years, and I'm not that concerned about living any longer because I know everything that's going on, and almost everything on the earth is extremely boring to me because I've done everything, and I've seen so much about everything, probably. But the only thing that keeps me excited is being in the Lord and knowing the Lord. It gives me such pleasure to be able to bring messages every day. That if I couldn't bring messages every day and straighten up some of the things that are, all the things that are on earth, I would be so depressed, because just to see these things happening and not be able to do anything about it, it makes me feel so great that the Lord told me I was going to live another 40 years. That should make you Vaticanites really happy, right? If time goes on, just think, you get to live around me and hear my voice and read my mail, the things that I write, another 40 years. He told me that around 10 years ago. So you've only got 30 more years to go. So cheer up, Vaticanites. And I say, just wait for 30 years. I believe the Lord will come back before that. I think He's coming back very soon. But I have the strength to go on for another 30 or 40 years. And that's because I quit eating dairy. The Lord says to fast half the time. That means 12 hours on during the day and 12 hours off of food. And then He says that I can't eat dairy because it's real bad. There's contaminants in it, and beef. And, of course, we don't eat pork because that isn't even food, according to the Bible, or any seafood like crabs, clams, and all you people down New Orleans way, crawdads, frogs, all the swordfish, whale, dolphins, crabs, lobster, all this stuff is no-no. It's not even food. They're scavengers like vacuum cleaners to clean the ocean floor. Shrimp. And you may quote scriptures to me that say that you can eat that stuff. You can, but you'll die young. But you will never read scriptures to me that will tell you that God okays it, because there's no such scriptures, and I know the Bible. Okay, the things that you want to eat, if you want to eat that sort of stuff like rabbits, gophers, vultures, eagles, sparrows, all that sort of stuff, that's not food. These are scavengers. They're like vacuum cleaners. If you want to eat them, you eat a vacuum cleaner. They clean the floor. Okay, chickens are all right, turkeys are all right, anything that has a gizzard in the bird family, like chickens and turkeys, pheasants, quail, all that, and deer, and elk, But now the Lord told me not to eat that stuff. Lamb is good. And certain kinds of fish, fish that has scales and fins. But I guess dairy must be so bad now that the Lord actually told me to stay away from all dairy. Now, I love butter and cheese, ice cream and all that kind of stuff, but I won't do it. And I feel at least twice as good since I gave it up. And steak, I love steak more than anybody, I think. I used to eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But I won't do it anymore now that the Lord warned me about it. And I'm not saying that you have to. You can eat all that stuff if you want. I'm just telling you what the Lord said, and you should receive it if you want to live. And any disobedience to the Lord, you go to hell. Now, of course, you don't believe that. That's why you're a Buddhist or a Catholic. Okay, go ahead.
The reason for this letter, I want to know if you have a church in the Houston, Texas area.
No, but if you really love the Lord, you know, people used to come from all over the then known world to come to Jerusalem to be where the people of the Lord were. And we don't have a church in Houston outside the fact that we're there distributing literature all the time. We have distributors there. But we'd love if somebody would like to open a church there. We'll support it. If they run it according to the way that the Lord has shown me to run a church. And then what else?
And I would like to receive your newsletters.
All right, praise the Lord. That's no problem. And the tapes. Okay, then what else?
Also, how much is your book, The Messiah?
Messiah book and all literature is free, brothers and sisters. It's free for everybody. I wouldn't charge you for anything that the Lord has given me for all the money in the world or the tea in China. Now, if you want to tie something, that's fine, because, you know, the Lord tells you to do that. But that isn't a requirement. So many people are broke because the American government has been sabotaged, and we've given everything that we have to our former enemies, the Japanese, the Germans, and the Chinese now have our whole garment industry, and now we're going to turn our borders over, I reckon, to the Arabs. Isn't that nice? I'm being facetious again. The Lord told me don't worry about that. Just pray about it. Pray to Him that whatever happens, that it's of the Lord. The Lord is going to punish. They're going to start bringing atomic bombs in here, these terrorists, because we're attacking their countries. And they're not going to get mad. They're going to get even. Because if you were over there and you saw a country like the United States come over there and kill your little children and your wife and your mother and your grandmother, some people don't know the Bible. And they don't know that God said, vengeance is mine. And that's why they're manufacturing these briefcase atomic bombs. And they're going to start saying, you know, now that we're giving them the seaports, because Bush thinks that's wise and the Pope does, because they don't care what happens to you people in America, or they don't care about what happens to anybody anywhere, because they don't even care about their own. Satan hates you. He knows his time is short. He knows he's going to hell in the lake of fire, and he wants you to go with him. So he wants you to keep on believing this Antichrist cult, government, and media, so that you can go to hell with him in the lake of fire. The Lord said that all of you are deceived. The whole world system is deceived. And that you're on your way to hell in the lake of fire. So, if I, you know, of course, I'm not you and you're not me. I decided around 42 years ago to give my life to the Lord, because I knew I know how futile it was when he showed himself to me. He pulled the breath out of my body and let me feel his power, his wisdom and knowledge, and it was so vast that it blew my mind. There was nothing in the world that blew my mind except God. He is the God. He is the God. All right, finish the letter, please.
I would like to receive the Messiah book. Pray for me because I am going through money problems now, and I know God will bring me out. May God bless you for standing for God's word, your sister in Christ, Shirley, from Houston, Texas.
Well, the Lord will lead you out, yes. As a matter of fact, he's opened a door here at the church for you to come and live. That's your way out. You won't have any money problems if you come over here, because everything is provided for you if you keep the rules, regulations, and if you're really 100% for the Lord, as you sound like you are. Okay, come on. Then what else?
Next letter is from Anambra State, Nigeria. Beloved Pastor, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have received a series of cartons of newsletters, Bibles, and message tapes. Thanks for your kindness and love. God bless you. God has drawn many souls to himself through your literature. My delay doesn't mean that I didn't receive them. I received them intact. Souls have been won through them by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has come to seek and save those that are lost. My beloved pastor, I know that the grace of God is enough for me to receive more, as you will prayerfully send me Bibles for the new converts, Bible reading message tapes, songs and choir tapes, and other tapes with messages from you. Please send me the t-shirt and sweatshirt, size large, and the same size for my beloved wife, for my beloved son, size medium, and for my beloved daughter, size small. I pray God to expand and extend your ministry worldwide in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. By his grace, Stephen from Anambra State, Nigeria.
All right. Glory to God. Yeah, we'll send everything to them. All right, now let's start with part 15:1-5 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And then this is a tape or CD 116. It's 116. So if you're ordering CD, make sure you let us know CD, or if it's a tape, let us know tape. And you can order by faxing us at fax number.
Area code 479-782-7406.
Or you can email at
alamoministries.com.
alamoministries.com. And you can write us at
Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505.
Or you can give us a call at
area code 479-782-7370.
All right, so remember, specify tape or CD, and this is tape 116. Okay, go ahead.
The modern type Christians don't believe that Christ is God. They don't believe that Christ died for our sins on the cross at Calvary. They'll tell you that Christ died as a kind of martyr, not in any way for our salvation, but he died to give us an example that we must be martyred to. They say we must imitate him or certain of his ways.
No, the Lord does not want any imitation. The Lord has a body. When I'm eating food, I don't want to eat imitation food. I want to eat real food. And when I eat real food, it goes into my body. My head is my head, and my body is my body. But since I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, my body and my head is supposed to be filled with Christ's word, and my body is supposed to be filled with it, and so therefore I become the temple for God to live in, God's temple. And read the last sentence.
They tell us we must imitate him or certain of his ways.
So I don't want an imitation, and the Lord doesn't want an imitation. He really wants to personally, with his Father by the Spirit, live in you. That's not an imitation. That's the real deal. That's the real thing. And so don't be listening to these modernists that tell you that God wants us to imitate him. The Lord wants us to imitate him. He hates anything that's imitation. I don't like imitation vanilla. I like pure 100% vanilla. I don't like imitation maple syrup. I want 100% pure maple syrup out of a tree. All right? And the Lord does not want any imitators. Imitators are actors. They're like monkeys. You scratch your head and the monkey scratches his head. Okay? You wave your hands in the air and he'll wave his hands in the air. Monkey see, monkey do. The Lord doesn't want any monkeys. He wants to live in you and work in you and through you. Okay, band one.
They tell us, just hold a good thought and just do what Jesus said. This is their teaching and the things that they practice. And there's another kind of pseudo-Christian. People call them fundamentalists. They believe that the Lord Jesus is God, that Christ is the Redeemer, that Christ died on the cross for our sins and was resurrected. They take Christ not as a piece of new cloth, but as a new garment. They are redeemed. They are true Christians, but they only believe that Christ has accomplished redemption and that now they are saved and will go someday to be with him in heaven.
They don't believe that they have to do the work. They don't have to let God, Christ with his Father by the Spirit, live in them and work in them and through them. And so without works, they're like the guy in the Bible that took a bunch of, that God gave him some talents and he put it in a napkin and buried it under the ground. And the Lord said, depart from me, you wicked. Amen?
Amen.
He said, you could have at least given tithes to somebody, but you didn't even do that. You just kept it and hid it. Okay, then what?
Then there's another type of pseudo-Christian, which is much better. Some Christians have seen that they need not only the redemption of Christ, but also the life of Christ. They've realized something concerning the inner life. They know that Christ must be living in them, so they take Christ not only as the new garment, but also as the new wine. So you can call them Christians that believe in Christ in the inner life Christians. They are actually a better stock than the other two pseudo-Christians. They're not modernists, and they're more than fundamentalists. Some people call them spiritual, but it's a sad thing to say. They lack one main thing.
Right. They almost make it, but they don't believe in the church life. They don't believe that God, they don't believe in the works. They don't believe that they should go to church and live the church life. They don't believe in the wineskin, the body life. Go ahead.
The wineskin is what they lack, the church life. In the latter days, the Lord is recovering not only the new garment, this he saved through many other different Christians before our time, the matter of justification by faith. But the Lord is not only putting back into us the inner life that he accomplished through different people, preachers down through the centuries. We thank the Lord for all the preachers before us and all the people that have recovered.
See, like if you have faith, you believe in everything the Lord says. You believe that he's going to judge us for our works. As a matter of fact, the Lord is judging us right now. If you're not doing it right, he's going to cut off your finances. You're going to have disease, sickness, illness. He's always reproving and doing everything he can in his power to warn you to flee from the wrath to come. He doesn't want any phonies, no imitators. He wants to really live in you, and he wants you to live in him, in the church, the body, the New Jerusalem, the bride, the invited guest. It's just one body. You can't live in Christ outside the body. Okay, then what?
However, at the end of time, the end of this age, the Lord is saving the last and ultimate item, the church life. You may call these Christians church people, and those are the ones that really are the ones that the Lord loves and lives in and works in and through. A lot of people today have the new garment. They have the new wine, and the new wine skin has also been given unto them. So we like to talk about the new garment and even more about Christ living in and through us with his Father by the Spirit. I've preached many messages concerning Christ with his Father by the Spirit living in us for our life. But I never stopped there. But I've also preached the church life, the wineskin. If you read all the things that I've written, you're going to know that we are not just occupied with one phase, or the new cloth of Christianity, but I make sure that I preach to you on the new garment, the new wine, and the new wine skin.
Yeah, there's like different levels that you have to reach in the body of Christ, or to get to the body of Christ. And then the church life also is that you, where Christ is working in the church and through the church. If you don't have that, well, then you're still a pseudo-Christian. You're not you won't be able to make it into heaven. You don't study enough to have the oil in you, the lamp. There's a song that says, "Put a little oil in my lamp, keep me burning." That is being in the church life and having the Spirit of the Lord in you. What purpose would it be to have the life of God living in you unless for God to just sit and watch television with you? He's not interested in watching TV. What good would it be for you to just have God's life, Jesus in you with the Father by the Spirit, if you're not letting Him work in and through you to win souls? That's what it's all about, Bessie. That's what God showed Bessie. We have a piece of literature that this lady gave to us, and I've been printing it for years. She was an old lady that saw hell, and the Lord showed her in that vision of hell that she was a Christian. She went to church. She did all the nice things. She took care of babies. She cooked for her husband and kept the house nice and clean. But she died and went into hell, and the Lord let her see Him crucified on the cross for souls. And He said, "You've not witnessed anybody. You haven't allowed Me to live and work in you, and therefore you're going to be in hell." And she said, "If you let Me go back, I'll witness to everybody that comes before Me." And our brothers were going through the old rest home where she was, and she said, "Boys," and they said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "Are you Christians?" And they said, "Yes." She says, "I've been told the Lord years ago that I have to give My testimony to everybody I meet that comes before Me. And so, have you got a few minutes so I can tell you about what the Lord did to me? He sent My soul into hell, and He went there with Me. Otherwise, I could have never got out." And so she told the story. You ought to get a copy of that piece of literature. You'll love it. And it's the truth, because it's the truth. All right, that's what it's all about, Bessie, is witnessing, letting the Lord live in you and work through you. That's what this message is all about. It's how to have God's life living in you. And for what reason? Why do I have to have God's life living in me? Because He wants to do a work of God in you and through you. That's why. You say, "Well, what authority does He have to do that?" Read chapter 1 of Genesis. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, and He created all the different living matter. And He that is able to do all that has the authority to tell you what to do." Okay, do you understand that now? Okay, and Muhammad wasn't there. Buddha wasn't there. The Pope wasn't there. Jesus died on the cross before the foundations of the world. He knew. God knew that He was sending His Son into this world to die and for us, and give us an opportunity to be able to get into the kingdom of heaven. So the Lord died on the cross and He shed His precious blood that He could live in you and through you, that He'd save you, that you could be clothed upon with the Lord, that you could have Him living in you, and that He could do a work in you so that the work that you did or helped Him do was a work of God. It's not your own. We're not to figure out what to say to people or what to do. We are to rely on the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord's Spirit tells us what to do and what to say to people. And that's what the Lord wants you to know. That is one of the many reasons why we must have God's life living in you and in me. All right, then what?
And then if we have the Lord, all these new items, then the Lord is the person that does all the right things in us. So He is our righteousness, not we.
Now, we have no righteousness. If He's living in us and we're doing what He says, then we become God's righteousness. I've heard some ministers say, "Oh, it doesn't make any difference what you do. You can sin." I think it was Creflo Dollar. that you're God's righteousness, you know? Even if you sin, you're God's righteousness. No, you're not. You sin and the Lord will leave you. Well, he says he'll never leave or forsake us. No, but if you're sinning, you left him already, and so he departs from you just as he did Samson. And Samson didn't even know it. Amen?
Amen.
You won't know it either, and God will send you strong delusion to make you believe a lie that you're still saved. And believe me, don't do things that will cause God to send you that kind of a delusion, because then you're definitely sealed into hell forever. And the lake of fire. Then what?
We have Christ as our life, and we have Christ in us in a corporate way as our church life. The Lord didn't stop with the new garment, and the Lord didn't stop with the new wine. The Lord went on from the bridegroom to the new cloth, and he went on from the new cloth to the new garment, and he went on from the new garment to the new wine and the new wineskin. There isn't anything more, really. After the wineskin, after the church, there is nothing more.
God, we just have to be a good temple of God and just let him work in and through us. There's nothing else but that. Amen?
Amen.
Rules and regulations. If the Lord is living in you and he tells you you can eat when you're fasting, he knows what you need. Well, then you just say, okay, I'll eat. Amen?
Amen.
If he tells you sleep, because you need sleep, you've been working hard, then sleep. Okay, do what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
It's not cut and dry. The Lord is flexible. The Spirit is flexible. He tells you one day to do this, and then the next day something else. But he never crosses himself up. He never tells you to do anything that the Word of God tells you not to do. Okay, then what? Except the Sabbath is not an unflexible thing. Because the Lord is the Sabbath, and he's the Lord of the Sabbath. And if you're living in him, you're resting all the time anyway. And so if he tells you to go and heal somebody, and you Jewish people, if he tells you, go ahead and turn on the light, don't be sad, stand there. I've had Jewish people, when we were looking for property, Sue and I were down at the beach, and we wanted to see this property. He says, well, it's the Sabbath, you know, I can't turn the light on. But you could. In other words, he says, you can go to hell, because he thinks you go to hell for turning a light on. And I thought, man, what kind of love does the Jewish religion have for souls? They're telling me, in other words, I can't fornicate, but you can. I can't commit adultery, but you can. That isn't a minister of the gospel. That's a phony. That's a hypocrite. That's a person that doesn't care about human souls. God isn't living in him. Christ is not living in him with the Father by the Spirit. I mean, if the Lord tells me to flip on the light, I'm going to flip it on. I don't care if it's the Sabbath, what they call the Sabbath. The Lord is saying so many words, destroyed the Sabbath the way we know it to be formed, because he's the Sabbath now. He says, come unto me, all ye that are laden, heavy laden, or burdened, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest, or Sabbath. Because I'm the Sabbath. I'm the Lord. I am the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And so therefore, just do what I say. Live according to the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life, in Christ Jesus. He's in us, and we have to be in that body. Okay? And in the kingdom of heaven, there's a temple. There's a Canaan land. It was symbolized in the Old Testament of Israel. But there's a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, and in that heaven is the temple. And that temple is the Lord. And we are in that temple. And that's how we make it to heaven, by being in the temple. And we can't be in the temple unless the Lord's living in us. So Christ with his Father by the Spirit is living in us, and when he does that and we're actually living the church life, then we're in the temple. And the temple is built upon the spiritual Canaan land. It's sitting right there in heaven, and that's the body of Christ. Okay, then what?
The church is God's ultimate goal. Well, how can I say that? Well, it's because the church is the end result, the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem.
That's the end That's the bottom line. Okay, then what?
When we arrive at the church, we are in the ultimate consummation of God's purpose. Therefore, after the wineskin, the Lord doesn't mention anything else. So you can praise and thank the Lord that we have the bridegroom. And it's for sure you have the new cloth made into the new garment. We have the new garment, we have the new wine, and the wineskin. So we're not only fully qualified, not only satisfied, but also fully positioned to have a wonderful time with our bridegroom. If you have experienced all these things, you don't come shy of anything. You have it all. Isn't it wonderful to have the Lord as our bridegroom, upon us as the new garment, and within us as the new wine? And what's more, this new wineskin is the church life. Therefore, as we go minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, we have the full Lord, and we're able to communicate with Him and enjoy His presence as our bridegroom. This is not religion. This isn't Christianity. This is not a new cult or a new sect. What it is the church life, the new wineskin. It is wonderful to have the bridegroom, to have this church life, and be in it. Praise the Lord.
Okay, what kind of religion are you? I'm in the wineskin. I'm in the bridegroom. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now, just go ahead and start reading.
We always have to remember when we're using terminology that it's not Christ and the church, but it is Christ that is everything and the fullness of Christ, which is His body, the church.
So it's still Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So it isn't the church and the Christ. It's the fullness of Christ, the church is. We're the fullness of Christ. Because we're His body. It's His body, not ours. But we're part of it. Amen?
Amen.
So He's the head and He's the body. It couldn't be His body unless we were members of His body, and we can only be that by His Spirit living in us. Okay, then what?
So when we talk about Christ being everything, as I've mentioned before in other messages, that the land of Canaan, which is a type of Christ, who is everything, and we all have to see how the city or the temple, which were built on this land of Canaan, are symbols or types or figures of the fullness of Christ, which is His body, the church.
And it's also the temple. His body is the temple, amen, that we live in, amen?
Amen.
The wineskin, the temple, you know, you can use all kinds of phraseologies. Then what?
So again, I'm saying what you have to know is the everything Christ, of which and upon which the fullness of Christ is. The church is built upon the fullness of Christ. So we have to always remember that it is not only Christ and the church, but that Christ is everything and the fullness of Christ, which is His body. So it's not Christ and the church, but the everything Christ and the fullness of Christ.
Yeah. So everything is Christ. Even us, if we're in His body and He's in us, then we're Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The fullness of Christ, that is. Okay? Then what?
We are the fullness of Christ, His body. We are the church. So when we think realistically, Christ is the reality of everything. When you read the scriptures, you know that all physical things, everything that is material, that you can see, touch, feel, enjoy, are not the real things at all. They are only a shadow, a figure, or a type.
That points to Christ. It's just that our food is just Christ. So the food we eat now is not the real food. Christ is the real food. Amen.
Amen.
The things we drink are not really the drink. It's Christ is the drink. Okay, keep going.
They are only a shadow, a figure, or a type, day by day, of the true Christ. Every day we are contacting many things that are material in this world. We eat food, we drink water, and other things. We put on our clothes, our shoes, and socks. We're living in our houses and driving in our automobiles. So we have to realize that we have to always remember that all these things are not real. They are only shadows, figures, or types. The food we take every day is not the real food, but a figure of the real food, which is Christ. The water that we drink every day is not real water, but it's just a figure or type or symbol of the real water, which is Christ, the Spirit. When we see darkness, we also see light right before our eyes. It is not the real light, Jesus. It's just a figure, a type, or symbol that points to Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. So by the power of God, I'm telling you the truth, that the real things in this life and the life to come is nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Oh, I'm so sad that we have to stop now, but our time is up. So don't fail to turn on your radio tomorrow to part 16, 1-6, and it'll be tape number. Today's tape is 116, or CD. But now, you know, everything is Christ, or everything that we see in the world is symbolic, figure, type, or symbol, pointing to the real deal, the real thing. So if you want the real thing, the real deal, you want to have God living in you right now, you can do that by inviting the Lord Jesus Christ into your body, into your spirit. And you can do that, just follow me in prayer. Say it to God and mean it with all your heart and soul. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise the Lord and thank him. Keep reading the word. Now, tomorrow will be tape 117, and it'll be part 16 of How to Have God's Life in You. And until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord, and just keep reading your word, the word of God, the King James Version. Praise the Lord. Amen.